From the Sky News Centre at 10, the commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan, General Petraeus, has admitted that a British aid worker may not have been killed by her captors after all. There are now reports Linda Norgrove may have died when a grenade was thrown during a rescue attempt by American troops. Foreign Secretary William Hague has been updating MPs and says she was a dedicated individual doing a job she loved.
The Prime Minister and I are utterly determined to do everything we possibly can to establish the full facts and to give Linda's parents a full account of the tragic circumstances in which their daughter died.
Dramatic audio recordings from London Underground's control room in the immediate aftermath of the 7/7 bombings have been played at the victims' inquest. The recordings start with controllers talking amongst themselves, believing the early reports of explosions were merely accidents. But the tapes reveal the confusion when it became clear that something terrible had happened.
I don't know what's going on down there. There's people coming up there with blackened faces and all blood coming in their faces, and there's very distressed people, so...
It looks like an explosion, yeah?
Something's gone badly wrong down there.
The final stage of the operation to bring 33 miners trapped underground in Chile back to the surface will begin at 4 o'clock on Wednesday morning, UK time. They've been stuck there since August the 5th. Mercedes is recalling thousands of UK cars because of a potential power steering fault. More than 22,000 C and E-Class models built between June 2009 and February 2010 are affected. The Queen has officially named a new ocean liner 72 years after watching her mother launch the first Queen Elizabeth. She has 16 decks, a shopping arcade and an 832-seat theatre. George Michael's been released from prison. He's thanked everyone who helped him get through his 4 weeks behind bars for drug driving. And it's being claimed that a baby was born in the West Midlands on the 10th second of the 10th minute of the 10th hour of October the 10th, 2010. Neve Bond was born 8 weeks early, weighing £3, 7 ounces. That's the latest. I'm Richard Suchet.
Community FM 93.2.
In 1985, Matt Setback Taylor and Dan Theodore Caswell were placed in a maximum security prison for a crime they didn't commit. They promptly escaped, only to find themselves trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not their own, driven by an unknown force to change history for the better. Now, every Friday they present The Erotic Toast Project, Bristol's only alternative music and adult baking show. If you can find them, if you fancy a piece of toast, maybe you should tune in.
Bristol Community FM 93.2. Your voice, your choice.
Good evening and welcome to the 80s.
That was, you're listening to John Peel Day, and a special day that is of mostly music broadcasting dedicated to John Peel, whose final programme was broadcast on BBC Radio 1 6 years ago today. And as promised before the news, here's Steinsky, and this is a song all about the Kennedy assassination, as recommended to me personally, since we're doing some stuff on the Kennedy assassination tonight, by XFM's John Kennedy, who you've heard chatting throughout the last hour.
And now, here's Johnny.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Here is a bulletin. Here is a bulletin.
What is it?
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
In Dallas, Texas,
it appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Three shots were fired.
Three. Put me on, Bill. Put me on. Three. Put me on, Bill. Put me on. Three.
President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
Stand by, please. Stand by, please.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no.
Is very different now.
What? Nothing has happened here. We understand there has been a shooting. Nothing has happened here. I can see many, many motorcycles. I can see many, many motorcycles. This is Kennedy's pink suit. Nothing has happened here. Many, many motorcycles. This is Kennedy's pink suit. Nothing has happened here. something is terribly wrong.
Four details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no. The Flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 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 Time.
We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution.
There is a prisoner. There is a prisoner. Wearing a black sweater. Do you have anything to say in your defense? Oswald has been shot. Oswald has been shot. Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby.
Ruby? Came from Texas.
He runs the Carousel Club? Here is the ambulance.
More details just arrived. Mrs. Kennedy jumped up. She called, oh no. Sped on.
Steinsky there with the motorcade sped on, as recommended by John Kennedy from XFM. Well, we'll be getting John Peel's own take on the Kennedy assassination about 10:30. But to wind up my interview with the other John Kennedy, I asked him if he was still with us, what would John Peel be playing tonight?
Can you just recommend us a track to play, which is something that you recommend now, which is the sort of thing you think John Peel would have had a little listen to if he was still around with us and gone, wow, this is great, I'm going to put this on tonight's show.
Wow, that's interesting. Archers. This would be hard to get hold of, actually. There's a new band from Portland, Oregon. They're called Archers, and they've got a track called Brussels Truffles, which I just started playing this week on the show, and I reckon that John would like that. And you can get it from Bandcamp. You can download it from Bandcamp for free, and you can buy a 7-inch, and you'll get 4 tracks with the 7-inch. But it will have to wait till it's shipped from the States. But that will do, won't it? Archers.
And now,
and you will be hearing Brussels Truffles from Archers in a minute. But before all that, we have live with us in the studio a band, as you can probably hear, just about limbering up now outside, and they're called the Transpersonals. Now, I wonder if can we hear them?
Yes, hello.
Right, so okay, so let's just have our 15-minute set now live from local band, Bristol band, the Transpersonals.
Okay, well, starting us off is the magnificent Matt and Luke, bass and drums. Go on, let's have a go. We'll be right back. Central West. Enter the cult of the transpersonal experience now. Just bring it down, just bring it down, just bring it down. Listen to me, change the vibe. Here comes the drama, here comes the beaver. We'll be right back.
Lawrence Hill. On John Peel Day, this is The Transpersonal.
Thank you, Mr. Beaver. We really enjoyed that. That was damn good. So, let's drop another log for the Beaver now. What's that noise, Luke? That's his lead. Okay, we're going to play a song for you now. This is a new one. We've never really played this one before, so we're going to give it a go anyway. We don't really care. This is Foxes. Ah, oh, dear. Bye.
Philosophical of all the mammals.
Yeah, well, that's it from the Transpersonals tonight. A fantastic little session we're doing there. I'm not sure if they can hear me. Let me just tell you that the Transpersonals are on the web on www.myspace.com/thetranspersonals. One word, the Transpersonals. They are Matt Bain on drums, Tim Herford on guitar and vocals, and Luke Barter on bass. The Transpersonals, if you want to go and see them in person or person, they are on Saturday night. That's the 16th of October, next Saturday, at the Louisiana in Wapping Road here in Bristol. That is, the website I'll give you again is www.myspace.com/thetranspersonals. They definitely get a free copy of the book, The Olivetti Chronicles, which is recently, I think it was only out 2 years ago, which is a compilation of the articles written by John Peel. So thanks ever so much again to the Transpersonals for doing that lovely little live set, making it really quite an authentic Peel-style event today, and certainly this evening here. Okay, so now let's hear from John Peel himself. As I keep moaning on about the Kennedy assassination, why don't we hear what John Peel had to say about it all? And here he is. In the late 1960, America's first Catholic and youngest ever presidential candidate, John F. Kennedy, was out on the streets of Dallas, Texas, campaigning to be president.
In 1960, when I first arrived in Dallas, well, I'd been hadn't been there very long. Of course, there was the election, and they had the parades on consecutive days, and their car came to a complete standstill, so I ran out and shook hands with him and said something like, "Good luck, Mr. Kennedy." And he said, and it just sounds so implausible, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you, because people think, oh, come on, you know. But he said something like, you're from England, aren't you? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you know, what are you doing here? And so I said, well, I just came over, you know, for a few months to learn about the cotton industry. So we had a bit of a chat, and of course you don't really know. I didn't know whether it was like a couple of minutes or 30 seconds or whatever. For a politician, I'd have thought this was probably unique. I mean, he talked about me rather than about himself, you know, because he was, seemed to be genuinely interested in what I was doing for a short period of time. So, obviously, after that, I wanted him to win the election so I could say, well, there's my mate John, you know, he's the President of the United States now. He's so
fine. After a peaceful resolution when superpowers Russia and America were poised on the brink of nuclear war, that is, 1962's Cuban Missile Crisis, and after blocking attempts by the American Intelligence Service, the CIA, and other hawks in the American military to stage an invasion of Cuba, John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas, on Friday the 22nd of November, 1963. John Peel was working in the city at the time.
Put me on, Phil, put me on. Phil, am I on? The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. I can see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, spread eagle, over the top of the car. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. I'm in behind the motorcade, trying to follow them. It looks as though they're going to Parkland Hospital.
I was at work at the Republic National Life Insurance Company, North Central Expressway, Dallas, and it was announced over the PA that the president had been shot, and the initial response of my co-workers was one of some jubilation. I mean, there was, you know, clapping to be heard and people shouting, because he was not a popular man, of course, in Texas, because he threatened the oil revenues on which the wealth of the state appeared to float. And I know that the reaction in the high school where my girlfriend was in theory studying at the time was very similar. I mean, it was announced there by the headmaster or whatever they call them, and cheering broke out fairly generally. So I ran out into the car park and jumped into my car and drove into downtown Dallas. And I parked up somewhere and approached the police cordon. And I told them I was from the Liverpool Echo, which obviously I wasn't, and I didn't have any kind of press passes or anything at all, but just because I had an English accent, they assumed I must be telling the truth, rather touchingly. And so I went through the cordon and went and had a look, and, you know, to see what was going on down by the famous grassy knoll, etc.
And just now we've received reports here at Parkland that Governor Connolly was shot in the upper left chest, and the first unconfirmed reports say the president was hit in the head.
Well, 4,000 miles away, back here in Britain, television presenter Nicholas Parsons describes the effect of the assassination on the public mood here in Britain.
It was a time of almost full employment, so there was more money, and those who had money, it did go further. We could live more comfortably and more easily. And I say, as a father with small children, I did feel that they had the prospects of a much better life ahead. And I saw the symbol of that hope in JFK.
That was Nicholas Parsons there. So John Peel managed to get into the press conference where the alleged assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was first paraded in front of the press. And John was posing as a reporter from the Liverpool Echo.
They brought Lee Harvey Oswald in, and I suppose he was about sort of 5-6 feet away from me. And either he didn't know what was going on, or he's a very good actor. I mean, he just looked kind of, come on, guys, you know, this has gone too far, you know, is this a joke or what? And he had a big bruise on his cheek, I remember, and, I was standing over there watching him, and Henry Wade said something like, you know, this is the man who's been charged with the assassination of President Kennedy, and general excitement, and then he was led away again. And as I say, I've told this story so many times that I didn't really believe it myself. But then I was round at Andy Kershaw's a couple of years ago, and he'd got one of those TV documentaries about it, and they were showing this film of the whole proceeding. I mean, they'd put the film on to demonstrate the fact that Jack Ruby was in the room as well, which I hadn't known until I'd seen this film. But in the last few frames, there's me and my mate Bob standing there just watching, you know. So it was true, and I was rather startled, to be honest, to see the truth of it demonstrated.
Well, 2 days later, prime suspect in the Kennedy assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald, was being transferred from Dallas Police Headquarters to the county jail when he was shot dead live on TV by a nightclub owner with mafia connections by the name of Jack Ruby. Now, with the suspected assassin dead, would anybody ever know if Oswald was a patsy? i.e. he'd been framed, as Peel and many others suspected. Well, you can't put a corpse in the dock, so a week or so later, the US government opened what became known as the Warren Commission to investigate the circumstances surrounding Kennedy's assassination. The Warren Commission concluded that Oswald was a lone assassin, shooting the president from behind, but seemed not to be interested in quite a lot of evidence that pointed to Kennedy having been shot from the front, from the notorious Grassy Knoll. With the Warren Commission over, that was it. Or was it?
I was working at my desk in criminal court as district attorney of New Orleans when my chief assistant, Frank Klein, rushed in. The president has been shot, he yelled. It was just past 12:30 p.m., Friday, November 22nd, 1963. The information coming from the television was inconclusive. Then, well into the middle of the afternoon, the arrest of the accused assassin suddenly was announced. Approximately 15 Dallas police officers had caught him while he was seated in a movie theater a considerable distance from the assassination scene. His name was Lee Harvey Oswald. While Frank Klein and I were transfixed by the TV, a most unusual incident occurred at Guy Bannister's office about 12 blocks away. Bannister was a former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI and a former deputy superintendent of police in New Orleans. Bannister and I had lunch together now and then, swapping colorful stories about our earlier careers in the FBI. That day, Bannister had been in the company of Jack Martin, a sometime private detective and hanger-on at Bannister's office. Both had been drinking. Martin made an injudicious observation, informing Bannister that he had not forgotten certain unusual things that had been happening at Bannister's office during that summer. At this point, Bannister whipped out his .357 Magnum pistol and began to massage Martin's head with it. In a minute or two, Martin was converted into a bloody, battered mess, and he was carted off to the hospital. That explosive act by Guy Bannister ultimately would lead to the only prosecution ever brought in the case of President Kennedy's murder. And later, Jack Martin confided to a friend what he had hinted at to Guy Bannister. His suspicion that David Ferry, an associate of Guy Bannister's, had driven to Dallas on that fateful day to serve as the getaway pilot for the men involved in the assassination.
Well, that was an extract from one of the definitive books on the Kennedy assassination, written by a district attorney who had evidence before him that Kennedy's assassination had actually been planned in neighboring Louisiana. It was the New Orleans DA Jim Garrison's book that inspired the Oliver Stone 1991 film JFK. Along with Daniel Hopsicker's Barry and the Boys, it comes as close as you can get to uncovering the real motives behind the murder of JFK, a rare, honest politician who put peace and people first and paid the ultimate price. All roads in the Kennedy assassination tend to lead to it being an inside job, a coup d'etat. And what with 9/11 too, not a lot seems to have changed in the land of Mother's Apple Pie, the military-industrial complex, and former Nazi scientists.
Belongs in the hands of people.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Dollar buys and nickels with banks going bust. We know things are bad, worse than bad.
Bad.
They're crazy, 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 crazy.
10 seconds to commercial.
Sometimes extreme behavior can be the warning sign of a mental illness. Learn to see the sickness.
The President of the United States!
Regrettably, we now believe that only force will make him leave.
The sickness.
Regrettably, we now believe that only force will make him leave.
Right! I am certain
Our cause is just,
a gallon of gas,
and I am certain. Our cause is moral,
loss of life,
and I am certain. Our cause is right.
Give me the goddamn money.
A new world order.
I don't know.
From the United States of Kiss My Ass.
Stupidity.
Again.
Demonstrations of this kind are demoralizing the whole country.
Corruption.
Again.
Don't hate the media. Become the media.
It's up to you.
Choice.
It's up to you.
Change the world.
It's up to you.
Please do your part.
What the truth is.
Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park.
Regrettably, we now believe that only force will make him leave. Regrettably, we now believe that only force will make him leave.
The protesters are a tiny but vocal minority. The American people overwhelmingly support the President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel?
Bum, you get a job.
We've sent out into the world.
Steinsky there with It's Up to You. Now, John Peel was there, of course, for the blistering arrival of punk on the music scene in the 1970s, but he was at pains to point out that far from being radical, there was in fact a racist, even Nazi tendency in the punk imagery and band names, if not in the underlying sentiments of some of the punk songwriters and performers themselves.
Growing feeling among some pop musicians that fascism could be fun. Ideas which disturbed influential disc jockeys like Radio 1's John Peel.
See, there has been, which I think is unfortunate, but it exists, there has been really since the very beginning of punk, in fact, perhaps before that, but most notably and noticeably from 1976, 77 onwards, a sort of flirtation with Nazi imagery, which people justify as saying that they find fascinating, with Berlin of the 1930s and so on. But, I mean, the original punks were always swathed in swastikas and so on. And then there have been, there was an LP sleeve by the Skids, who were certainly not an Oi band, which was very kind of Aryan and Nazi wall poster-ish. And the bands like Joy Division, whose very name is derived from, from some SS sub-organisation, and the band which have followed them called New Order, which is again a Nazi-derived name. So there's always been this, which I regard as unpleasant flirtation with it.
Recently, there have been more worrying parallels with the Germany of the 1930s. High unemployment in Britain, especially among the young and the unskilled, has made working-class whites ideal recruiting material for extreme right and left-wing political organizations. The chosen recruiting ground was obvious. Those places where large numbers of young, disaffected whites congregated. Football stadiums and halls where pop music was played.
Well, the parallels with today potentially should be obvious there. Well, that's about all from me. I'm going to leave you in John Peel's personal musical temple. Like music heard from a Bedouin tent from afar, it's sacred music like you've never heard it before. If this miraculous invocation works, we should be hearing from John Peel himself, courtesy of the magic powers of BCFM's Steve Satan, after the 11 o'clock news. Our first of three hymns then draws down the power of the great architect of the universe, courtesy of early 90s band X Sight. Then we're going to hear the Temple of Dreams with the Messiah, and our final hymn before the news, and hopefully John Peel himself may be invoked. Now, John, do you think we could get a little word from you? Do you think you may be in the area?
I may indeed be in the area tonight.
Okay, so anyway, our first hymn to John, and hopefully we'll be hearing him after the news, is this song called The Great Architect by a band called X Sight. That's X-SIGHT.
I was the one who forgot to reset it.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
There are some people who talk and some people who don't, which means that there are some people who leave this place and some who do not leave. You are obviously staying.
Has it ever occurred to you that you're just as much a prisoner as I am?
No, oh, my dear chap, of course, I know too much. We're both lifers. I am definitely an optimist. That's why it doesn't matter who number one is. It doesn't matter which side runs the village.
It's run by one side or the other.
Oh, certainly. But both sides are becoming identical. What, in fact, has been created? An international community. A perfect blueprint for world order. When the sides facing each other suddenly realize that they're looking into a mirror, they will see that this is the pattern for the future.
The whole earth as the village. Yes.
That is my hope. What's yours?
I'd like to be the first man on the moon.
Messiah.
Who loves you and who do you love?
The Messiah! The Messiah!
Without further ado, it's time to start running!
Some strange belief.
Magic. It's always magic.
He was swinging a kind of plumb bob.
To bring on the magic. What else?
My disciples, I stand before you in the name of the one true God. God.
I stand before you in the name of the one true God.
Do you ever have days when you feel as though you got out of bed on the wrong planet? This is one of those, I think. Prudence Futuri, and that's called In the Name of the One.
And those last three songs there were X-Sight. That's the There Here dance mix, a song called The Architect as well. And then after that we heard The Temple of Dreams, The Messiah, and then Prudence Futuri, In the Name of the One. And indeed, John Peel himself has been evoked.
Hello there.
And he'll be on after the news.
I certainly will. Very much looking forward to it.
Thanks very much for listening. I have been Tony Gosling for the last 2 hours, and now, after the news, you will hear John Peel on BCFM.
92.2 FM. It is your voice, and it is your choice.
BCFM is the community radio station for Bristol, and is here to give everybody...